I'm reading from the book of 1 John. Now, that's not the Gospel of John. That's the Epistle of John. 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1 and verse 4, which will serve as a text. My subject today is this. What is it to be born of God? What is it to be born of God? John writes in 1 John 5, 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And then he says in verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. What is it to be born of God? Well, every life is begun by a birth. Every life. It's so naturally. You and I are born the first time. We don't begin to live on this earth until we're born. We begin life when we're born, and it's so spiritually. We're born again. Birth is the way that we enter into physical life, and according to the Word of God, the new birth is the way that we enter into the kingdom of God. The Scripture says in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege or the right to become children of God, sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, that is, not of family inheritance, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. So I have three sons, and all of them were born into my family. They one day became my sons, when they were born into our family. And we become sons of God when we're born of God. We enter into the family of God when we're born into the family of God. You see what I'm saying? Every life is begun by a birth. We begin natural life by being born. And we begin spiritual life by being born again. Now, there are many ways in which the natural birth and the spiritual birth are similar. I can't explain the new birth to you. I'm not going to try to do that. But I'm going to identify it. I'm going to declare it and pray that the Holy Spirit will bring you into this relationship with God, into the new birth, into the family of God. And after you're born again, you'll understand something of the new birth. Now, there are many ways in which the natural birth and the spiritual birth are similar. Let me give you some. First of all, both are mysterious. Both are mysterious. Now, I'm not going to try to play the part of a physician, but I'm awed and amazed at the conception and the birth of a child. I'm awed and amazed, and I can't explain it, and neither can you, how that the smallest seed that has to be seen through a microscope can over a period of time become a full-grown adult person. I don't understand that. And all of these things that we are in that seed. David was amazed by the way he was made. He said in Psalm 139:15, Lord, thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So the natural birth is amazing. It's a mystery. I can't explain it. And the more you think about it, the more you'll be awed and amazed at the possibility of natural birth, of having a child of your own, being presented with a life in this world. But I said they're similar. The spiritual birth is mysterious. You know, John wrote, the wind bloweth where it will. And you hear the sound, but you cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So are they, or everyone, that is born of the Spirit. It's mysterious. God quickeneth whom he will. We're awed and amazed at that which is dead now lives. Those who are strangers to God become friends of God. Those who are children of wrath become children of promise. and children of the kingdom. It's a mystery. A man becomes the opposite of what he was. That which he hated, now he loves, and that which he loved, now he hates. He becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. So these, in this way, the natural birth and the spiritual birth, they're similar in that both are mysterious. Both are a mighty miracle of God. And then secondly, both the natural birth and the spiritual birth, in both, life is created. Life is created. Now, when an infant, you're standing outside the delivery room, and the mother's gone into the delivery room with the doctor, and after a few moments, you hear a cry, and you know that that child is born, that that child lives, that another mortal who's never lived before, who's never been known before, who's never even been imagined before, who's never had a name before, who's never had existence before, another mortal breathes, has come to this earth to live and to breathe and to die. Life is there where it never was there before. That's the natural birth. Now, you understand that, don't you? That when an infant is born into the world, it didn't exist prior to this moment. A new life begins. Well, so in the new birth, when a man is born again, when a man is born of God, when the Spirit of God gives life to a dead sinner, there's a citizen, a new citizen of the kingdom of God who never lived before. There's life where there was no life before. A living person comes into the family of God who was not there before. We have passed, John said, from death to life. We've been born of God. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. A new life lives that never lived before. Where there was death, there's now life. Where there was darkness, there's now light. You see that? In that way, the spiritual birth, like the natural birth, it's a new life. It's a new life. It's not the old life remodeled or renewed or reformed. Brand new life. It's the life of God. All right, thirdly, both in the natural birth and in the spiritual birth, a like life is created. LIKE-LIFE. A like life. Now, my friends, every child has a father. Every child has a father. And every child has the same life as the father who begat it. Now, we can take that down to the flowers. Every flower comes from a seed. And every animal comes from an animal seed. And every human being comes from a human seed. If you read Genesis 1:24, several times the Lord says this, everything will bring forth after his kind. After his kind. After his kind. You can have Shetland ponies and thoroughbred racers and all types of horses, Tennessee walking horses, but a horse is a horse. And a cow is a cow, and no cow ever gave birth to a horse. And you can have sheep dogs, and you can have St. Bernard dogs, and poodle dogs, and Airedale dogs, and all different kinds of dogs, but a dog's a dog, and no cat ever gave birth to a dog. You see, like life, it comes forth in the natural birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You see that? So I'm born like my father. My father gave me his likeness in the natural birth. I'm a human being because I can't be a human father. So in the new birth, a regeneration. The father lives in the child. We're born of God. We have the nature of God. We have the likeness of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. In Adam we die. In Christ we're made alive. As we have borne the image of the earthy, Adam, so we bear the image of the heavenly, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a like life. In the natural birth, there's a like life brought forth. In the spiritual birth, if you're born of God. Now, if some false prophet gave you what you have religiously, you'll be like him. If some church gave you your religious position, you'll be like that church. But if God, if you were born of God, if you were born of the Spirit of God, you have a spiritual nature and a spiritual life. You're like your father. Dead men bring forth dead children. Spiritually dead. the living Father brings forth living sons. God is a spirit, and so are they who are born of God. They're born spiritually. Now, fourthly, in the natural birth and in the spiritual birth, there's character communicated. Character. In other words, Psalm 51:5 says this. Now, watch it carefully. Behold, and this is the amplified version. Behold, I was brought forth in a state of iniquity, because my mother, who conceived me, was sinful. Then I, too, am sinful. Now, listen to Psalm 58:3. The ungodly are perverse from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies, like father, like son. You can't get sweet water from a saltwater fountain. You can't get clean water from a corrupt fountain. We're born of our natural fathers with a natural life and a tendency to sin, because our fathers are sinners. We're born with an evil nature, just like our father Adam. We're all sons of Adam. So it is in the new birth. Now watch this carefully. When a man is born of God, he is given in that new birth a holy nature, a divine nature, that will believe God, that will love God, that will trust God, and that will not sin. The nature of flesh can do no good. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Paul said, in the flesh no man can please God. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The fleshly nature retains a potential to sin, and the passion to sin, and the desire to sin. But that new nature, born of the Spirit of God, and born of the Word of God, and born by the power of God, is a divine holy nature, and whosoever is born of God doth not practice sin. For God's nature abides in him. This is 1 John 3:9 in the Amplified Version. Listen to it. Whosoever is born of God doth not habitually practice sin, for God's nature abides in him. He cannot practice sin because he's born of God. In every believer, there's a divine, holy nature. It's a character. Now, in the natural birth, I know it's mysterious. And I know in the natural birth, we have a father who begat us. And a like life was begotten. And a character was begotten. And that character was the character of sin. You don't have to teach your children to do evil. They're born knowing how to do evil. They're born experts at lying. They're born experts at selfishness and self-righteousness and pride and all these things. That's born in us. When we're born of God in this mysterious supernatural miracle from heaven, when a man's born of God, a like life is created. He's like his father. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's not flesh, it's spirit. And it's a character communicated. Positionally in Christ, we have a righteousness imputed. But practically in Christ, we have a holiness imputed. And in that believer, there's a nature that's holy and that cannot sin. And that nature believes that Jesus is the Christ. Whosoever is born of God believes that Jesus is the Christ. And whosoever believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And that new nature overcomes the world? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It overcomes the world. It says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. That new nature loves those that are begotten of God. He that loveth the one that begat loves those that are begotten. That's what it says in 1 John 5. And he loves the begetter. It's a nature. It can't do anything else but love God, because it is God itself, God himself. That nature is God himself. A like life, and it's a character communicated. And then fifthly, in both the natural birth and the spiritual birth, this is ways in which they are similar, a life is brought forth that is complete in all its parts. Now, when that baby is born, they bring the baby to the mother. It has every part of a human being that it'll ever have. That baby will never grow another finger. If it has 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, or 10 fingers on its hand, that's all it'll ever have. If it only has 1 arm, it'll never grow another one. If it has 2 arms, it'll never grow a third. It'll never grow another leg, another foot, another toe. It'll never grow anything else. as far as this body's concerned. It's got ears and nose, and that's exactly what it'll have. Now, it has these faculties and these organs in the infant state. They're all there, but they're in the infant state, and they'll grow and they'll mature to a full-grown man. Now, listen to me. When a child of God is born into the kingdom of God, that child of God has every faculty, spiritual faculty, he'll ever have. He's got faith, he's got love, he's got joy, he's got hope, he's got kindness, he's got meekness, gentleness, he's got humility, tenderness. All this grace and fruit of the Holy Spirit is already there, because the life of God is there, and it's the fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit's there. If any man hath not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. That's what it says. And if I have the Spirit of God, then I have the fruit of the Spirit. I have the life of the Spirit, and I have the character of the Spirit. Now, it's there in infancy as newborn babes. We're babes in Christ. We're born babes in Christ. They're babes in Christ, they're young men in Christ, and they're elders in Christ. And these babes in Christ must grow. But when we're born again, we are sufficient. He hath made us meet or sufficient to inherit all that the saints in glory shall ever enjoy. The same love that you have in your heart right now is the love you'll share with the redeemed in glory. Oh, it'll be increased. It'll be glorified. We're going to be like Christ, but you have the same love right now. There's a remarkable likeness between the natural birth and the new birth. In other words, you would not be here right now if you had not been born, would you? Well, you'll not be in the kingdom of God if you're not born again. Christ said that. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You wouldn't be able to hear or to see or to think if you hadn't been born, would you? And you won't be able to hear his voice or see his face or think on his glory if you're not born again. You wouldn't be able to enjoy the things of this world. And there's some good things here that God hath made. If you were not born, would you? And you'll never enjoy the things of God's kingdom if you're not born again. So in that way, the natural birth and the spiritual birth are similar, but there are several ways in which they're not alike at all. In fact, they're opposite. Would you bear with me while I point out some of these, three or four of these ways in which the natural birth and the spiritual life birth are nothing alike. They're totally opposite. First of all, these two births are different in this respect. 1 Peter 1:23. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:23. This is the Amplified Version. You follow in your King James, but I want to read the Amplified Version. It'll help you here, I think, to understand what the apostle is saying. You have been born again, not from mortal or corruptible seed or sperm, but you've been born again from a seed or sperm that is incorruptible, the Word of God. See the difference in the natural birth and the new birth? In the natural birth, we were born of corruptible sperm or seed, our father's corruptible seed. In sin, my mother conceived me. I was shapen in iniquity. It was a sinful seed. But we were born the second time, and you know what the seed was in the second birth? The Holy Spirit was the agent. The Holy Spirit is the one who effected the birth, who begat us. You know, the angel said Mary would have a child, and she said, "How can that be? I don't know a man." And the angel said, "The Spirit of God shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and that which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God." And that's what happens when God brings forth a child into his kingdom, the new birth. The Holy Spirit is the agent. But you know the seed? It's the Word of God. Of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Men must and will hear the gospel if they live, for Christ is the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's the Word of God that convicts a man of sin. It's the Word of God that reveals Christ as the Savior. It's the Word of God that reveals to us the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It's the Word of God that reveals to us the promise of God of life to all who believe. It's the Word of God that reveals to us the beauty and glory of our Redeemer. It's the Word of God that reveals to us the hope of eternal life. We're born of the Spirit and of the Word. Please don't separate that. It's a dreadful mistake and a dreadful error. And it's not glorifying to the Holy Spirit to deprive the Holy Spirit of the very Word, the very seed, the very sperm by which the new life is created, the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, no man can please God. He that cometh to God must believe. And the Holy Spirit doesn't believe for you. You believe. That's right. He says, with your mouth you confess, and with your heart you believe. Now here's another way in which those two verses are different. Job chapter 3, verse 1. Now listen to this. After this, Job opened his mouth, and he cursed the day that he was born. He cursed the day that he was born. And he said, let the day perish wherein I was born. My friend, a man may live to see the day when he'll curse the day he was born. That's right. He may do it. He may do it. He may, unfortunately, I think many will. They'll live to curse the day that they announce that a child is born to your mother and father. But I'll tell you this, not so in the new birth. That great day grows sweeter day by day, sweeter as the years go by. I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus came one day and gave me life. I'm so glad that he came one day and revealed himself to my heart. I'm so glad he came one day and said, let there be light. I never regret the day I was born spiritually, and nobody ever has. And I'll tell you, parents, and this is unfortunate, but I know some parents who regret the day some of their children were born. But the Heavenly Father never regrets the day that his children came into his family. They'll always be trophies of his grace. He'll always exalt the riches of the glory of his grace in every one of his children, because they're all going to do him proud. They're all going to eternally glorify his name, every one of them. Now, here's another way in which they're not alike. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die. Once to die. In other words, when that baby comes into the world, the first time its heart beats, it's one heartbeat nearer to the grave than it was. Somebody said that the beats of our hearts are like funeral marches taking us to the cemetery. Every heartbeat, every breath, every year, we're going to die. You're going to die. Everybody born into this world is going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And men have always died, and they always will till Christ comes. But not so in the new birth. We'll never die. Now, we'll sleep, but it's not death for the believer to die. Christ said, because I live, ye shall live. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. It's graduation day. It's coronation day. It's the day when I leave the land of the dead and go to the land of the living. That's what somebody said to an old dying saint of God one time. They stood by his bed and watched him, and just before he died, somebody said, well, brother, you're about to leave the land of the living. And he looked up and smiled, and he said, oh, no. He said, I'm about to leave the land of the dead. I'm going to the land of the living. You see, that's the difference. We're born, this flesh is withering and wrinkled and dying and decaying, but not my spirit. Why not? Well, there's several reasons why this new nature born of God shall never die. One, it's from its nature. We're born of God. The reason my flesh is dying is because I was born of a dying father. My father's dead. His father's dead. Henry Mahan was my grandfather. He's dead. And my father's dead. And soon I'll be dead. But my Heavenly Father eternally lives. And I'm born of him the second time, and therefore I can never die. Over me, the second death hath no power. I cannot die because I'm born of God. A living God produces living sons. And then secondly, this nature born of the Spirit of God can never die because of its union with Christ. My friends, we're not only born of God, but we're one with Christ. We're married to Christ. The two have become one. Where he is, I am. What he is, I am. What he has, I have. I can't die because Christ lives, I live. When he dies, I'll die. But he can never die. He's eternal. Then I can never die. I'm eternal. And near, so near to God, nearer I cannot be. For in the person of his Son, I'm as near as he. This nature can never die because of the pledge of the Lord. Listen to what he says. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The word has gone forth from the throne of our God. They shall never perish, and he cannot lie. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They shall never die. Now here's the last way in which this new birth and the fleshly birth are not alike. And that is the glory of the fleshly birth. Wherein does the glory of the fleshly birth lie? Well, in strength. A lot of people brag about their strength. They can lift so much weight or run so many miles in so many minutes. They're proud of their strength. Some people are proud of their beauty, their glory, life, and their beauty. Some men have got a lot of money, and they're proud of that. Some men got a lot of brains, and they're proud of that. The glory of the flesh is in the flesh. And all of this is like the grass of the field. It withereth, and the flower, it fadeth away. Beauty, you're going to be ugly someday. Strong man, you're going to be weak. Rich man, you're going to be poor. Wise man, you're going to be a fool. But the glory of God endureth forever. And the glory of the new birth is the glory of God.